back to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and we're speaking with Marcia Shiner, who is telling us a good bit about the kind of efforts that are being made on behalf of persons on the spectrum, professionals on the spectrum, and how one of the programs that she's involved with, Employer Connect, is being utilized to affect those kind of opportunities. So, Marcia, that's really kind of just where we left off. Can you talk a little bit more about Employer Connect?
Yes. So our Employer Connect program, which is going into its seventh year here in New York, is a program that we started back in 2011 when one of the companies we were working with said, we work with organizations like yours all the time, but we like to meet the population you represent. And we thought, well, one, that was a very fair request, and two, that that would be a great way to not only introduce young adults on the spectrum and educate employers about the kinds of individuals and the skills and talents that they could bring to the workplace, but also offer an opportunity to individuals and the population that we're representing to really network with a large number of employers. So what we did was we created this program where we put together every fall a group of young adults, usually about 20 individuals who are either still in college or recent graduates from college. And by recent graduates, we take individuals who've been out of school for up to 6 or 7 years. And starting right after Labor Day, we put together a schedule where we have anywhere from 8 to 10. It's usually about 10 or 12, actually, employers who each agree to host us for a two-hour session in their offices. And during those sessions, the employers will spend a little bit of time talking about who they are and what they do, and then engage in some kind of interactive activity with the young adults around the job search process. So they might do something like do informational interviews or work on how you develop your 30-second elevator pitch, or how do you answer behavioral interview questions. So they'll work on skills with the group, and then we'll have an open networking session for the last half hour or 45 minutes. And then this gives the young adults a chance to practice their skills, meet a number of executives and managers from different companies in different industries, and really have an opportunity to develop confidence and expand their network.
Do you feel that businesses are more receptive than they were even just a handful of years ago towards to providing those kind of opportunities to young people? What's your experience here?
I can only tell you in terms of the process of getting companies to participate in this program. Our first year we had 6 employers. Last year we had 12.
Okay, double.
And we now find that every year we like to bring new employers into the program. So we're in the position now where we find we actually have to take 1, 2, or 3 of the employers who've been in and actually ask them not to participate again so that we can bring new employers in every year.
So you actually have to limit the numbers. Why is that? Can you expand that a little bit, or is it necessary to limit who stays involved, or what's that about?
Well, we limit it simply because from our own capacity of time, between Labor Day and the middle of December, we have a limited number of weeks.
Oh, I see. Sure.
And we try not to do more than one session a week.
Gotcha.
It seems to work well in terms of how much we can do with the group.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm guessing that you would want to expand the types of employers who might be interested. So you would want to kind of give those kind of slots to more than one type of company.
Exactly. So we have everything from big banks and accounting firms to media companies to pharmaceutical companies to the city of New York as a government employer. So we really tried to give a variety of industries so that for the young adults who are participating, there's something that would be of interest to everybody.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And I imagine part of the challenge is, as you reach out, is Again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would suggest that part of the challenge is around awareness, making sure this wide range of corporate opportunity that there's an understanding that so many of the people that are graduating who are on the spectrum have quite a bit to contribute.
Well, that is our goal. So, you know, while we're thrilled that the young adults get the opportunity to improve their skills and increase their networks, for us, it's also an opportunity to increase awareness within these companies. And one of the things that we do is before each session for these companies, we do a training session for the individuals from the companies who will be participating in the program on autism and how it may present in the workplace. And we do it. It's really sort of an awareness and a sensitivity type of training. And then there's a bit of advocacy on our part as well. And we also then look for individuals who participate who will possibly agree to be mentors in the future for some of the young adults who go through the program.
Well, how effective, that's interesting to me, Marcia, and I think it will be to our listeners. How effective is that mentoring model for professionals on the spectrum?
Well, we have not fully put the mentoring model in place. We did have a bit of it in a different program that we just completed this year called the Job Search Boot Camp. And we did find that for the young adults where we were able to pick up a mentor for them, they had much more successful outcomes in finding employment.
I'm not surprised because we find that in general with typically developing staff, that there's something about that model which kind of bridges this idea of supervision with collegial friendship that I think allows newcomers to any industry to feel more comfortable. And that's kind of why I was a little interested to see where that was going. But I hope to see that, I hope to see that developed and cultivated a little bit more. You know, from the large to the personal, if you don't mind, you know, it's been some years now since you got involved and you initiated this. Your son was a teenager. How old is he now?
He will be 27 in September.
Great. And has he been able to benefit from some of these opportunities?
Well, my son has chosen to live in Florida, and he is still in school, so hopefully in the future he will benefit.
Good. I hope so, too. You know, it's funny. When I navigated my way to the Integrate site, I was interested and surprised and, you know, somewhat disturbed at some of the demographics that are in your opening page around how underemployed people on the spectrum are. When you were compiling those statistics, were you also a little taken back at what that looked like?
It's actually quite surprising. And if you look at the overall statistics for all people on the autism spectrum, the unemployment rate is actually better for individuals who have a high school education than for those who have a college education.
Wow.
Which is sort of counterintuitive to what we would all think.
Yes.
And I think, again, that is one of the reasons that we focus on the end of the spectrum that we do, because the under an unemployment rate for individuals with a college degree is actually worse than for individuals without. Now, I'm sure, you know, one could pick through those numbers and talk about who is participating in the employment world and not. So I can't vouch for all the numbers, but again, I think one of the reasons has been, and we see it time and time again, when we look at a lot of the young adults who come through our program, the work opportunities that they have been at relatively low-skill types of employment.
Yeah.
A good example I can give you now is we have a young man interviewing for a finance and accounting position that we're working on. He's got a bachelor's and a master's in accounting with a very high GPA. But is currently working as a dishwasher.
Wow, isn't that something? Ostensibly it seems counterintuitive, but it really does underscore one of the themes of our conversation, which is, you know, increasing employer receptivity to the clear understanding that people on the spectrum can have high levels of education and should be candidates for higher paying jobs. So while it's counterintuitive, it's an easier sell to get somebody on board for an entry level position. You know, I just want to say that you know, this conversation needs to continue. So I want to bring you back. I'd like to take the conversation into the area of neural diversity and the many ways in which this population can be very effective in the workforce. Our guest today is Marcia Shiner, president and co-founder of Integrate. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. You're listening to 103.9 FM, Keeping an Eye on Autism, DDI on Autism. Keeping an eye on autism for the Long Island community. Marcia, I hope we can speak with you again next week.
Nope, would love to.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.